A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Of all the things to hear Tim Hughes report this morning, Dave, on Utah's Morning News, as I was driving into work, I did not expect for him to announce that Colin Powell had just passed away from complications due to COVID-19. It was shocking to me.
Yeah,
I thought the man would live forever.
84 years old.
Yeah.
He really was such a key figure in so many ways. When I was growing up in my teenage years, I remember Colin Powell and Norman Schwarzkopf, the generals of the Iraq War. I remember watching CNN 24-hour coverage of this invasion, and that was a very unique experience for me. And it was the first time that we've ever really watched a war unfold before our eyes. And these generals, you know, were superstars. I mean, everyone knew Colin Powell. Everyone knew General Schwarzkopf. But a loss, 84 years old, died of COVID complications. We'll dive into that. 9:07, it's time for the launch.
Sequence engaged.
Here are three things that Debbie wants you to know.
Countdown three.
Dave, we've got another case of domestic violence here in Utah. Police say her ex-fiance was waiting for her at 1 o'clock in the morning. And when she came home, they fought over an engagement ring. He got it, then left. Then he returned and pulled the trigger as she opened the door. Now he's on the run. And a popular host of a local Spanish-speaking radio station is dead.
From domestic violence again. We'll get a live update in our 9 a.m. hour on the search for the suspect from KSL5's Garner Mejia.
Countdown two.
In the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to dive into a shocking spike in the cost of homes. And what it means, Dave, is there are no more starter homes along the Wasatch Front for your kids. Sorry, they can't afford to live here. Home prices soared more than we ever thought, more than we reported, more than we could imagine. We're going to give you the numbers. And David, it's so wild that your kids now have two choices to buy their first home. They can either buy in Millard or Daggett Counties. Pick one.
I thought it was Duchesne.
No.
But okay, it's Millard or Daggett. If you can't buy your first home, guess what? There's not a second or third or fourth upgrade throughout. You've got to be able to get into that initial home. Well, what does that look like now? Is it a townhouse for $400,000?
Shared by five or six people?
Everybody load in. We're all splitting the rent. Oh, we got triple bunks? A bunk bed isn't enough. We need triple bunks.
Launch countdown one.
Well, he went to Vietnam twice. Promoted to chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, first black U.S. Secretary of State. This man is a lifelong American soldier. And today, we hear that Colin Powell succumbed to an invisible enemy. He died of complications from COVID-19. You talked earlier about 24/7 coverage of Operation Desert Storm. CNN's Wolf Blitzer covered Colin Powell, who oversaw Desert Storm.
He was just so powerful, so smart, and such a wonderful human being. I'm sure, like so many other journalists who covered him, I'm very sad to hear the news that he's now passed away.
And quite honestly, I thought he was going to be president of the United States. He had all the qualifications. I was surprised that he wasn't the first black president of the United States and that it was really Barack Obama. But he died due to COVID, right? In the arsenal to combat COVID, he was vaccinated. His family says he was fully vaccinated. So what was it? Was it his age, 84 years old? Was it underlying medical conditions?
Dave and Dejanovic.
The launch.
Commence.
KSL's top national story, special coverage with Dave and Dujanovic.
And it is a shocking one. I suppose I thought Colin Powell would never die. He was the face of America's military defense. Let's dive into what we know and what we don't know about the death of Colin Powell.
Well, part of what we do know is he was 84.
Yeah.
He had Parkinson's. He had blood cancer. He had been battling for years with these things. So to hear that he had passed away, not a terrible surprise, you know, obviously at 84, but to find out it was COVID, because I knew that he was battling cancer. I knew that he had Parkinson's.
It was breaking news this morning on Utah's Morning News. It is a top story on all of the major news networks right now, and it is the lead story here on the Dave and Dujanovic Show. We know his wife also had COVID-19, Dave.
Yes.
We know Alma recovered from COVID-19. And in a family post to social media, they say he was fully vaccinated. And they were thankful for the treatment he'd gotten at Walter Reed Medical Center. So they're not pointing the fingers at the doctors. They're not pointing the fingers at, you know, the vaccine. He was fully vaccinated. They said they appreciated the treatment he'd gotten.
We don't know if he had a booster shot.
That's a true story. We don't. And we don't know what type of vaccine he got. Did he get Pfizer? Did he get Moderna? Did he get Johnson & Johnson? My guess is that he did not get the one-shot wonder. My guess is, but I don't know. I don't know if he got Pfizer, Moderna, or Johnson & Johnson.
Well, I think what's interesting about this is here is an individual with a lot of underlying conditions that make him more vulnerable to COVID. We know that the older you get, the less effective the vaccine is.
The longer it's on board.
The longer you've had it. And yeah. We just know naturally.
And we don't know when he got it.
The older you are, right. You're more susceptible, even if you are vaccinated. So we're going to talk to Dr. Tamara Sheffield in the 11 o'clock hour and ask her some of these questions. If you are in that at-risk category, whether it be age or underlying medical conditions, how effective is the vaccine?
We don't know how he caught COVID. We were searching for answers for that this morning. That's unclear. And we don't know how soon he was hospitalized. Also in search of answers for that, I know Dr. Tamara Sheffield will be able to answer a lot of our very open-ended questions right in the 11 o'clock hour. She's often a guest of the show with Intermountain Healthcare, so look forward to her phone call at that point in the show. We do know as well that the Utah Department of Health tracks vaccinated versus unvaccinated and the risk ratio. Do you worry, Dave, that this is going to launch us into a conversation about whether the vaccine is effective?
Yeah, I think...
As Americans, not you and I, but as Americans.
No,
we're both vaccinated.
I think a lot of people that are vaccine hesitant will look at this fully vaccinated individual and see that he still died from COVID and say, sweet, the vaccines don't work. Well, are we looking for 100% effectiveness?
Let me give you the Utah Department of Health statistics. They send it to us every day. And here's Friday's data. So they say in the last 28 days, people who are unvaccinated are 12.6 times greater risk, at a 12.6 times greater risk of dying from COVID-19, and 11.6 times greater risk of being hospitalized due to COVID-19, and a 6.2 times greater risk of testing positive for COVID-19 than vaccinated folks.
Which says a few things. You can see how effective the vaccine is, but you can also see that people that are vaccinated, obviously, when you look at the numbers, are still getting sick.
Straight ahead, we're going to continue the conversation as Inside Sources' Boyd Matheson heads into studio right now. We're going to talk about this, Colin Powell's legacy. Is his legacy a salute, or is there a stain on it?
KSL's top national story, special coverage with Dave and Dujanovic.
Dave, as we remember former Secretary of State Colin Powell and his life of service, you and I have been really forced to take an in-depth look at his legacy. What is it? Is it the heroic architect of Operation Desert Storm or the statesman that led us into the second Iraq War under the pretense that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction? Here's Colin Powell in 2003 talking to the United Nations.
This council passed Resolution 1441 by unanimous vote. The purpose of that resolution was to disarm Iraq of its weapons of mass destruction.
Saddam Hussein and his regime will stop at nothing until something stops him.
Weapons of mass destruction that were never found. And this legacy is complicated. A great military leader, and he didn't fit into a box. And we always love leaders that fit into a box. He served under two Republican presidents, but ultimately left the Republican Party over its support of Donald Trump.
They did, and that's why I can no longer call myself a fellow Republican. You know, I'm not a fellow of anything right now. I'm just a citizen who has voted Republican, voted Democrat throughout my entire career. And right now, I'm just watching my country and not concerned with parties.
You know, let's go over his, I want to go over his resume, and it is a storied one.
Yes.
But it's also one that a lot of people will say has a stain on it. He's born in Harlem, New York. Two tours in Vietnam. I believe he was injured in both of those tours in Vietnam. Oversaw the invasion of Panama to displace Manuel Noriega.
No relation.
Thank you for that clarification. Oversaw Operation Desert Storm. And that's where a lot of us grew to know Colin Powell.
Yeah.
And then chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And then the first black Secretary of State under George W. Bush.
He twice won the Presidential Medal of Freedom. So an incredible career. Boyd Matheson joins us right now. Boyd, how do you see his legacy? Is it the weapons of mass destruction that were never found in Iraq, or as this great public servant?
Well, as you said, every life is complicated and complex. I think we also have to look at it from the broader perspective of no one should ever be judged by I don't think any of us want to be have our legacy be of a failure. Now, one of the things that we should know with Colin Powell is in the years that followed that, he owned it. He didn't dismiss it. He didn't deny it. He didn't point fingers or place blame. I think that's a legacy worth celebrating right there to say, yeah, we got that wrong. The intelligence was wrong. We bought into the intelligence that was wrong. And he owned that. And so to me, that's why I think Colin Powell was really one of the last great statesmen. Because of how he conducted himself in good times and in bad. Everybody's a great general when everything's going great, when the sun's shining, when everything's beautiful. The test is what do you do when things go wrong and things go sideways?
Boyd, I'm glad you brought that perspective, too, because I have great respect for Colin Powell. But we went to war over that misstep. And that has always just not, it's not sat well with me all these years. But I'm glad you brought up that he owned it.
Yeah. And I think we have to look at the broader perspective, too, in terms of we know who Saddam Hussein was. There was no question in terms of the way he led and the harm he inflicted on his people and people around the world. And so I think we have to be careful of the sweeping generality of a stain, of a mistake. Those things are true, and that's reality. We need to look at that kind of history with very clear eyes. And we need to also recognize all the dynamics. Most things that happen historically when it comes to military are because of either an overestimation or an underestimation of information that came in and who was in the room when those decisions are made. And so I think as we look at the legacy, one that we don't talk about enough with Colin Powell is not only was he the first black chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, he's also the youngest.
Yes.
Think of that combination of someone that young coming in as the first black chairman of the Joint Chiefs, again, beloved by presidents of both parties. Why? Because of the way he viewed the world and he viewed people. He was a soldier's general in terms of how he treated those that he led. He always looked up to those that were beneath him in the chain of command. Another great lesson in leadership and statesmanship that we're losing in our world today.
Again, this four-star general served under Presidents George Herbert Walker Bush and George W. Bush, but he left the party because of President Trump.
And that's why I can no longer call myself a fellow Republican.
And not only did he leave President Trump, but he endorsed Joe Biden.
Hi, I'm former Secretary of State Colin Powell. I support Joe Biden for the presidency of the United States because those values still define him, and we need to restore those values to the White House.
Now, quite honestly, I thought he would be president of the United States at some point. I was surprised that he never ran. And I saw this interview that he had with Dave Rubenstein, and he asked him, Why did you not run for president?
Lots of people are coming to me saying, you know, you need to run. Well, I didn't ever think of running, and I had no particular passion then to run, but I felt an obligation to consider the matter. And so I did. You know, I'm a serviceman, and I try to do what I think is right. Most of the Republican Party did not want me to run as a Republican. They even put out statements saying we don't want him in the party.
Because you were too moderate? Or?
Yeah, probably, because I was too moderate, yeah.
Any regrets about not having run?
No. Why?
Well, some people say it's a great job. No?
Prove it.
Well.
Did America have regrets that Colin Powell did not run for president, though?
Absolutely. Yeah, the country would have been served very well. And that kind of candor that he shared there, you know, in my former life, I did a lot of big seminars and trainings on leadership. And so got to spend some time in a green room with Colin Powell. And he's exactly the same way that it's not about, it was never about him. And to me, that's exactly what we do want in our leaders. And sadly, we've turned the presidency into a brand and a platform rather than in a place for people to lead on principle. And he never wavered from that. And I think you're right, Debbie. I think the country probably does have some regrets that there wasn't space in our politics for a statesman like Colin Powell.
Well, we were expecting him to become a politician, and he refused to become a politician.
Yeah.
He was just, in my opinion, a great man.
Yeah.
And he had great morals, and he stood for something. There was a piece of a CNN interview that stood out to me, and he talked about once President Biden won and he was reaching out to those that voted for President Trump. And these are the words he had that I found inspiring.
I have such confidence in our country, so confidence in our ability to come through this crisis as we have come through many other crises in the past. Let's argue with each other. Let's debate each other. But let's remember we have to love each other. That's who we are. We're Americans, and we have something to be proud of. We got to make the rest of the world proud of us as well, as they have been for so many years before.
Boy, that sounds like you wrote those words for him, because those are the same words I hear come out of your mouth every day right here on KSL News Radio during your show.
Well, I believe in those, and Colin Powell has always been the epitome of those words. Someone asked me one time, you know, what's the last thing I should think about before voting for someone for president? And my answer is always the same, and really for any office for that matter. And the question is, how would this person make a difference and contribute if they weren't president? And Colin Powell's life after his time in service as Secretary of State and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, he made a difference. And those are the people we should be looking for and hoping that they end up leading the nation.
You said you shared space with Colin Powell. What are your thoughts?
So here's probably the best example. So we shared the same Speaker's Bureau in Washington, D.C., and of course, he was, you know, he was everywhere and constantly being asked to speak. And I was in their offices one time, and they had this whole section of their building was dedicated to Colin Powell. That's how popular he was and how in demand he was as a leadership trainer. And I was talking with one of the people, and they said, you know, all those things you've heard about Colin Powell, how he's so amazing and so wonderful and so kind and so amazing off the stage. And I said, yeah. And they said, it's not true. And I was like ready to be devastated.
Right.
And they said, he is 10 times, 1,000 times better person than that. He's the real deal.
Colin Powell, at the age of 84, former Secretary of State for the United States, dead at the age of 84 due to COVID complications. We are continuing to learn more about his death in the 11 o'clock hour. Dr. Tamara Sheffield from Intermountain Healthcare will be on the line with us live with what she knows about breakthrough cases, because as we know from his family, Colin Powell was fully vaccinated.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.